Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Settle Squad podcast, episode 13, Understanding Your Emotions. In this episode, we're going to cover what emotions are and why we have them, and the three different ways that we can handle emotions. So this is information coming from a module in the Mental Freedom course. So emotions, they're a fascinating and vital aspect of human existence. And like, we don't really remember facts, we remember how we felt. You know, it's not so much about what people say, it's about how they made us feel. So emotions are, they're what we know as the experience of life. The people we meet, the things we do, the relationships we have, it all funnels back to our own meaning of these events through our emotions. So if we don't understand your emotions, you're going to be in for a tough, chaotic experience of life. So it's time to learn what emotions really are, so you get on the path towards deeper self-awareness, which is going to be the key to skillfully navigating your own mind and life. So diving in, we'll go through two sections here, what emotions are and why we get them, so that'll be number one, and then the second section will be three different ways that we can handle our emotions. So we'll try and cap this to 15, 20 minutes max. Okay, so getting into it, so what are emotions? The definition of an emotion is a strong feeling derived from one's circumstance, mood, or relationships with others. But on a fundamental level, our emotions are essentially a tool. They're a tool to help us survive and navigate through the world safely. And that's leading into the why. Like, why? What's the purpose behind these? Like, why would we actually get emotions? It's to help us survive. So everything that the human body and the human brain does, it's all linked back to survival, and everything starts to make so much sense once you understand this. It's the same with the Physical Freedom Program, all like why we get tightness, why we get pain. It's actually all linked back to your brain trying to keep you alive. It's the same here with emotions. They actually develop to help us survive in two different ways. They help us to form bonds, and they also help us to be able to predict things in the world. And both of those reasons is to help us survive. So without emotions, we wouldn't be here. The human species would have died off, same as if we didn't have pain and things like that. Like, they're there to help us learn and be able to survive and thrive in the environments that we're in. Like, even quick example there, if we couldn't form bond with our own mother, we're going to end up dying. If we couldn't form a bond with like the tribe and we didn't fit in and we became an outcast, you'd die. So that's why like the emotions are ingrained in the fabric of human experience, because they're extremely useful for helping us survive and thrive in whatever environment that we're in. So that's the kind of quick snapshot on what emotions are and why we have them. We'll go a bit deeper on it here. There's three different elements of emotions, okay? So number one is the autonomic arousal. So this is how alert you are versus how relaxed or asleep you are. Number two is valence, so the value that you give it, is it good or bad? And then three is interocepting versus exterocepting. So basically, are you focused inwards or focused outwards? Okay, so there are like three elements of emotions. The alert, how alert you are versus how asleep you are, is it good or bad? Are you focused internally or are you focused externally? But again, all those three elements, they're to meet the goal that we said, to help us form bonds and to help us make predictions about the future. So, like, think back, well, you won't remember, I guess, but just think of a baby. They would have first started interocepting, so focusing internally, trying to make sense of the things that they're feeling. But then as you go on, they'd start to try and understand what's going on outside of themselves, which is the exterocepting, so the outside world. And you start to try and navigate through your world, through the emotions that you're having, and you're just trying to alleviate the feelings that you have. So let's say, as a kid, they get feelings of anxiety. What will they do? They'll start crying. You know, that's what they'll do. They'll start crying, and then they'll learn through that. So if the mother gives them attention after they cry, what does that mean? If I get this emotion of anxiety, if I start crying, that alleviates it because my mother comes over and cares for me. So that's kind of hitting both of them, isn't it? Like, you're learning how to create bonds and relationships, and then you're learning how to predict the future as well. Because as a baby, you can imagine how scary it is. Like, they don't know anything, what's going on. And when we're able to predict the future, that makes us feel a bit safer, even as adults now. So if I'm scared, if I cry, I'll get comfort and safety. That's me predicting the future. So you can see how it'll just keep snowballing from there. But same as a baby, same as us, the emotions help us form bonds and they help us to predict the future as well. So even as a child, this is where the core rules of your emotional experience were first laid down. In your interactions as a child, in the interactions with your primary caregiver, which is usually the mother. And this is kind of leading into attachment styles then as well. So I'll leave that for a different episode. We'll go through attachment styles in a different episode, but you probably know the three main types. If you've delved into a bit of this, the secure attached, anxious attached, and avoidant attached. So yeah, we'll probably just skip over that for now for the sake of time. I'm just going through some of the module here, picking out a few bits that I can tell you kind of within the 15 minutes. We'll go on to one more point, I think, for what emotions are that was fairly interesting. And that is, we perceive emotions differently. Okay, so like my version of happiness will be different to your version of happiness. My version of sadness will be a bit different to your version of sadness, and every other human as well. So I found that fascinating, because we would think, you might think that happiness is the same to all of us, or sadness, or whatever emotion that you have. And how they know this is because we have, all humans have the exact same genes in our eyes that see the color red. So they're all identical. But yet, on surveys of people where they have to pick out what's the most intense red, we pick different ones. So, you know, it's just fascinating that, like, we have the exact same genes in our eyes that see the color red. They're identical for every human, but yet, if you line up humans, line up 10 of them and ask them, which is the most intense red, they're going to pick different ones. So that means, like, we just perceive things differently. So if we can't even see the same shade of red, you can see how, like, the feelings that we have, they're not going to be the exact same either. So, yeah, and, you know, the funny thing, not only do we not know what others feel, but most people go through their own life barely knowing what they feel. You know, they suppress and avoid them. And this is going to lead into the next section that we're going to go on to now. So they don't even understand their own emotions. Never mind trying to read, you know, your partner's or someone else's emotions as well. So that's kind of leading us nicely into, how do humans handle emotions then? It's usually in three different ways. And you'll see now which way you're handling emotions and if it's the way you want to now from the next section. So going on to section two here, the three different ways that we can handle emotions. So the three main ways is suppression or repression. The second one is expression, so expressing the emotion. And the third one then is escaping the emotion. Okay, so number one, suppression/repression. I'll explain in a second. Number two, expression. You express the emotion. And number three then is escaping the emotion. So you run away from it. So with the suppression and repression, this is when we push the emotions down. We don't want to actually feel the emotions, you know, let them come up. And the suppression, this confused me a little bit before. So the suppression, make sure I'm saying the right one. Yes, the suppression is when we consciously push it down. So we're aware of the feeling coming up and we think, no, don't want to feel that, and we push it down. But then the repression is when we subconsciously push it down. So we're actually not aware of it. And that'll be for different reasons. There'll just be so much kind of guilt and shame around it that it's kind of outside of our awareness. And that's the more dangerous stuff, the more sneaky stuff, because we're not even aware of it. So with the suppression, that's when we're aware of it, but we consciously push it down. You know, it could be a male feeling sadness and they're like, oh no, that's not masculine, I don't want to feel that, push it down. That would be suppressing a feeling. But then repression would be something different. So that could be, let's say, frustration, where as a kid, when you got frustrated, your mother gave out to you so much. So like you would have learned as a child to repress your frustration. So now you're so used to like pushing it down, you're not even aware of it anymore. And now this would be the people that, you know, snapping easily and lots of other different things, and they don't even really know why, but they just have repressed so much frustration over the years. So you can see the kind of difference of it there. Suppression, you're aware of it, but you're pushing it away. And then repression is usually suppression over a long period of time, where now you're just, that's just what you've learned to do and you're not even aware of it anymore. But the suppression, that's when it can have a lot more control over you. So the things that are out of our conscious awareness, in the subconscious, that's when it has a lot more control over us. Let me see what else I'll say from that section. And yeah, a good point there as well. Like, so, you know, we know that stress is the silent killer. You've probably heard that line before. And like suppressed feelings are what lead to a lot of stress as well. So like not only is it good for your physical health and your mental health, but like, yeah, just your mood, your experience of life, like learning all this stuff is integral to the human experience. That's why we're going through it. Anything else here? Just scrolling down through the module. So I think I'll just touch on that point again, because it is a massive one. Like with the repression, when we're not even aware of it, this is when it has the most control over us. and continues to play the puppet master in our own life. So even, I gave an example on last week's podcast, didn't even really mean to, but it just came up as I was talking, the example of settling and quitting on my soccer career. So, and then the fact that I repressed all those emotions, like disappointment, sadness, all anger, all that stuff at myself. And yeah, it was repressed because I wasn't even aware of it. I thought, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine, like, you know, like most people think. But then, as I said, in the example where just at the airport, saw a player that I used to play with for a period of 2 years before that he actually didn't quit on himself and he made it. And I was watching him playing soccer on TV and me just feeling sick and feeling like I was going to burst out crying and all this. Like, that's a great example there of repressed emotions for years. And that's explaining why it's happening. So it was, I wasn't aware of it at all. It's only that moment that made me realise, obviously something is happening here, and this is, you know, the starting point of looking into all this, getting deeper self-awareness. And then the last point I'll say on that bit is, and it's such an interesting point, and when you understand this, this is the start of becoming a lot more empowered in your life and not being afraid anymore. Like, we think that we fear life. And I remember that feeling. Like, we think that we fear life, you know, like failure, different things, whatever it is. But what we really fear is our emotions. You know, like, sit and think about that for a minute. We think that we fear life, but we don't. What we really fear is our own emotions, because we're afraid that we're not going to be able to handle them. So, and like, to prove how that is true, we perceive events differently. Like, if some event happens, someone can be fine with it, but someone could be, quote, traumatized by it, and it's all coming from what we believe around it. So yeah, it's not the actual event, because events are, quote, neutral. It's the emotions that you get from experiencing the event. So, you know, that line again, that's a life-changing one there. Like, once you understand it deeply, that we don't actually fear life, we actually really fear our own emotional reactions to certain things in our life. So once you understand that, then the next step is, once you understand that you can get mastery over this, that you can learn much deeper self-awareness, why you're getting certain emotions, what they mean, and understand them, work through them, then the fear of life starts to diminish. You're going to stop being afraid of things, because, as we're saying, you're not actually afraid of things, you're afraid of your own emotions. But once you understand them on a much deeper level, you know them for what they are. They're just information. They're information about what you believe, and you can refine and adjust your beliefs. So, yeah. Life-changing stuff there once you understand that on a deeper level. So I think we might actually finish it there, because if we go off on other paths now, that'll kind of be 10 more minutes plus. We might leave this as a bit of a shorter one. So yeah, because the last point I had there to definitely go through was that the first step on this is we need, like, getting deeper self-awareness. We need to understand the basics of emotions, and I've gone through some of it here. The second step then is when we learn how to take ownership of our own emotions as indicators of what we believe. And this is now the breadcrumb trail where we start to walk into our subconscious and go into all that good stuff, coming all the way from even before we were born into our childhood and throughout our life, all the things that we've been programmed into us to believe. And a lot of them are disempowering and suppressed, like we're saying. And these are the things that are controlling our life underneath the surface that we're not even aware of. So, like, I'll give you one little example of that line. Like, this is actually one of the lines that changed my life, because it got me to dive way deeper into this stuff and ended up signing up for a course from the guy that I'd seen it from and going off on the journey which led me to here. So that line again, take ownership of your emotions as indicators of what you believe. Okay, so just to break that down, that's what we need to do. We need to, like, take ownership. You know, if you think anyone's going to save you in this world, you know, a trainer, a therapist, anything, it's never going to happen, okay? That's disempowering straight away, okay? So you take ownership of your own life. That's the first step. And we do that with our emotions as well. So we take ownership of our emotions as indicators of what we believe. And I'll leave you one example. So let's just say me and you are walking down the street and an old woman is getting robbed. I might get, like, let's say you get emotions of, you know, anger, and you think that's terrible. And then maybe if I get more neutral emotions, or even the opposite, like, I think it's funny. How is that happening? Like, it's the same event. It's going back to what I said before. We're watching the same event. So how do we get different emotions? And it's because the emotions can only stem from what we believe. So in that case, if you get angry, I know that you believe things around protecting your elders, that attacking people is bad, etc., etc. Because how else would you have that emotion if you don't believe that? Same for me. If I start laughing, I probably believe things like survival of the fittest and everyone for themselves and selfish beliefs. How else would I have that emotion? So, like, it's again, once you start to realize this, that you can trace all of it back to what you believe, and that line of, yeah, that any emotions that we have, they're only coming through the lens of our own beliefs, and these beliefs were programmed into us. So, hence, the emotions that we're getting are coming from things that were programmed into us, which is fascinating, because when you're looping in the same emotions, you think, oh, this is me, this is the way my life is going to be. No, it's not. It's just like a computer here in front of me. It's just something that was programmed into it when it was made and throughout its life. But it doesn't have to stay that way. And this is where the Mental Freedom course is coming in, because this is what we dive into. So we'll leave that there for today. Quick kind of surface level understanding of emotions without diving too deep on it. And you'll see then, so other free relevant resources, How to Unlock Deep Self-Awareness. That does go deeper into it. So a nice article there, and like 20-30 minute video if you do want the deeper dive on it. Go and watch that one. Then on the 3 ways I can help you. So we have the Physical Freedom Program. That's overcoming chronic pain and injury, helping people reach their athletic potential. We have the Mental Freedom Course. This is what we're talking about today. Cultivating the deeper self-awareness to skillfully navigate your own mind. And this is the key to adjust and refine the operating system running your life. And lastly, then we have the Lifestyle Design University. This is where we avoid the biggest regret of humanity and design the life true to you. So to finish off then, we'll actually talk about the Mental Freedom course, because the last group finished up 2 weeks ago and the next group is actually starting on the last week of November. I think it's going to be the 28th or the 30th of November. So this will be going out on Monday, the 20th. Yeah, so in roughly one week to 1.5 weeks time, the next Mental Freedom group is starting. So we have 3 spaces taken. I'm only doing 5 max in each group to keep it small enough so we can get the best out of it. So there's 2 spaces left. So if you're interested, drop me a DM on Instagram. So you'll see there down below, follow, contact me on. You'll see my Instagram there. You can send me a DM, or you'll see my email there as well, guidedandsettle@gmail.com. So if you're interested, send me a DM. I can give you more information on it. And yeah, if you're liking the stuff that you're seeing from me on this, actually, I'm going to put up a client testimonial from the last group. The 3 people who did it, they've all done testimonials. They're coming in. So the first one I have from Owen, that will actually be up by the time I upload this podcast. So I'll link it there in the show notes. You can read his testimonial from going through the Mental Freedom course. And yeah, if you want to get into the next one, like I said, get in contact with me and we'll go from there. I'll give you more information on it. Okay, cool. A little timer here. Bang on time. I think it was at 20 minutes. So yeah, we'll leave it there. So don't settle, and we'll see you next week.